A pleasant evening to you. We're delighted you tuned in tonight and that we can continue our study that we began this morning. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy and the second chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. You remember in Deuteronomy chapter 1 that we began this morning that the people of God were in Horeb. And you'll remember that they had been at a mountain at that particular time, and God said to them in verse 6, "You have dwelt at this mountain long enough." And then God proceeds to tell them to go. But when you come to the book of Exodus and the second chapter, you'll find that in verse 1, it said that they skirted Mount Seir for many days. And then when you read your Bible in verse 2, "The Lord spoke to me saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough, turn northward." Both times God has said, what you have done long enough. It's time to get about doing the business that I've given you. It's time for you to engage. It's time for you to do exactly what I've commanded. We begin this morning by talking about the fact that there are many in life who live by routine. And we call sometimes that being a rut or running in circles. Now, I recognize there are a lot of people who appreciate a routine. And they plan their day down to the nth degree, and they don't like any surprises, and so a routine is what they're looking for. They don't want any chance of any risk, and they try to avoid any risk or any change. But one thing we must come to learn in life is that change and risk are involved in life. And it's easy, if we're not careful, for our lives to be dull and boring and monotonous and routine. Now, I recognize that there are a lot of things we don't like to see change. And there are a lot of things that we don't like to see surprises. But one thing we must recognize is that life is filled with risk and life is filled with change. But there are so many people who avoid risk and avoid change at great cost. And life becomes a rut. But that's true spiritually. Now you can be a great planner and plan your day any way you want, down to the nth degree. But one thing we must learn in life is that spiritually, every day, we need to be growing. And as we grow, we change. We don't stay the same way we were when we were first baptized. We were a babe in Christ. And just like a baby that grows, spiritually we need to grow. It's not good that if after many years we are still on the milk of the Word and we've not developed a taste for the meat of the Word. That we're not studying and growing in our knowledge and in our faith in the Lord. But you know that brings up a very serious question. When you don't progress spiritually, you start to become content with where you are and you become comfortable, but then life can become boring spiritually. And I want to know, does worship and religion bore you? Do you ever step out of your comfort zone to pursue godly things? Maybe talk to someone who's lost. Maybe teach a Bible class when we're able to have classes. Do you ever step out of that which is comfortable to you so that you can grow? That is an important question. But then I want to raise another question. As in everything else in life, so it is in worship and our spiritual life, you're going to get out of it what you put in it. Do you want a fulfilling, uplifting faith? Do you want to draw closer to God? If the answer to those questions is yes, my friend, then we have to not be content and comfortable staying where we are. We have to grow. You have to be able to step it up and step out by faith to do what God has told us to do. Now then, notice here in Deuteronomy 2:3, God again commands the Israelites at this time, instead of circling and skirting the mountain and just taking your day routinely doing the same thing until you get into a rut, the Lord said, "I'll tell you what you do. You go where I told you to go. You do what I told you to do. Don't be content and comfortable just where you are. You have to do what God has told you to do so that you can grow and be what God wants you to be. Many times you'll see a sign that says, come as you are. Well, my friend, that's the only way you can come as you are, but you don't stay that way. We change. We grow. Now, sometimes I'm fearful some who are more mature in the faith don't have patience with those who are newborn babes. We're all at different aspects of our spiritual life, and we need to be patient with those who've just become Christians. But I'll tell you, they need to grow, and we need to grow. We all are trying to grow and be more conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that brings up something else. I want us to think about several mountains you'll find that people circle around and not make progress in a spiritual sense. And I'll name three or four mountains that you'll find that we can get engaged circling, and all we do is circle the mountain and we don't do what God told us to do. In fact, the first mountain I want to talk about is the mountain of hearing but not doing. Take your Bible and turn to the book of James and the first chapter. And I'm sure you're already in James 1, knowing what I'm about to read in verse 21 beginning, where the writer of God said, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if, underscore that word, anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now then, when you read what James said, James is writing and James is instructing, as is guided by the Holy Spirit of God, that you do not just hear, but you apply. You practice, you do what God's Word says. And it's one thing to hear, but it's a completely other thing to practice what you've heard and do what you've heard. Now, you can ask a child, did you hear me? Why do we ask this? They did not act upon what we said. If you tell your child to do something and they don't do it, sometimes you say, well, did you hear me? Well, I want you to think about spiritually. Have we heard God's word? And if we've heard it, are we doing it? I'm fearful, my friend, that many do not put into practice the truth we hear. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, if I have hearing, I'll have faith, and I have faith, I'll do what God says, because he says in James 2 that faith without works is dead. And he said there in James 1, you'll do good works because you have heard the word, and you'll be a doer of the word. You'll put into practice what God has said. Now, monotony is contrary to the age we live in. We tend to keep going, mind engaged in something. But when it comes to spiritual life, do we continue to grow spiritually? Or has our spiritual life become monotonous? Are we spinning our wheels? Are we running in circles? Or are we growing? Are we being doers of the word after we've heard the word? I'll tell you something, my friend. There are three things that are contrary and opposed to becoming monotonous and routine and boring. One is spiritual growth. When you're growing, it's not boring because you're reaching a new level. I'll tell you, one of the most exciting things you'll find when you study the Word of God is to make a connection you haven't made before, see something you hadn't seen before, be able to relate something that you hadn't related before. And I'll tell you, as a preacher, when you talk to people who are studying and they point out things they've learned, it's exciting to hear what they have put together, seeing that they have studied the Word of God. Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1 and notice that Peter has a wonderful statement. Peter, when he is writing to the churches throughout Asia Minor, tells them a great thing beginning in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He said, if you're not growing, look at what he said very carefully in verse 9, you're short-sighted. No, not even short-sighted. He said, you're even blind. You're not growing. You're not seeing the far end because you're short-sighted. And he said, you even become short-sighted to blindness, and then you become forgetful that you've been cleansed from your own sin. When you're a doer of the word, you remember that you are a child of God and you're growing. And I'll tell you what else. You're zealous. I'll tell you something, my friend. One thing that is hurting today in local churches is zeal. Take your Bible and look in the book of Titus and the second chapter for just a moment. And time will not permit us to look at all the verses I'd like to look at, but look at verse 11. In verse 11 beginning, he said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Now this is what the grace of God does. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, this age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Now watch that last line of verse 14. Zealous for good works. Isn't that wonderful? He calls him our great God in verse 13. And he says, I want you to understand, if you saw the greatness of God, you'd be zealous. If you saw the grace of God, you'd be zealous. If you saw that he died to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, you'd be zealous. I'll tell you, my friend, in our day and time, we can be zealous about football. We can be zealous about a lot of things. My question is, are we zealous about God? Are we zealous? Are we growing? Are we zealous? Are we working? I'll tell you, that's three things you'll do. When you become a child of God, you'll not just be a hearer of the word, you'll be a doer of the word, and you will grow, you will be zealous, and you will work in the kingdom of God. You will go forward doing what God has said. But now then, that brings up several mountains that other mountains that people seem to want to travel around. You have the mountain of hearing and not doing, but the second mountain is that of ritualism. In John 4:24, he said, we worship God. He said, God is a spirit and we must worship him in spirit and truth. Things now must be done decently in order. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:40. However, sometimes we get into a rut in our worship. We try to hurry through the songs and we don't think about the words. We don't meditate on God's word. We don't think about the Lord's Supper as we should. And I'll tell you, my friend, in all kindness and yet candor, one thing we need to remember is that in life we need to be people who are zealous in our worship. When you hear a sermon, or you hear a prayer, do you consider what being said and how can I apply it? Do you ever think about how can I take that sermon that Brother Guy has preached and put it into my life? But some bring the same attitude, make me like it. It's almost like some people expect the preacher to almost just get up and entertain them in a lot of places. They no longer call it a pulpit, they call it a stage. And they say, now preacher, you get up there and you make me enjoy it. I'll tell you, my friend, you're going to get out of it, as we said, what you put in it. And that brings up another thought. We can break the monotony by preparing ourselves at home before coming to worship and thinking and meditating and doing those things that get us prepared to study the Word of God. You know, it's good when we have gospel meetings, but you know what's really good is after we hear the good gospel preaching from other men who come in, we take it and we apply it. But that brings up a third mountain we go around. Not only the mountain of hearing but not doing, and not only the mountain of routine, but think about the mountain of worldliness. Many Christians never give up their old way of life. In Romans chapter 6, you'll remember that in verses 3, 4, and 5, in that part he talked about as many of us who were baptized into Christ's death. Then he said we've been raised to walk in newness of life. And if you take that and you put what he said in Colossians 3, the old man's put to death. We need to be living a new life for Christ. We don't go back to our old ways. Sometimes I'm fearful that we got a lot of people who want to play church on Sunday, but they're not part of what God wants them to be any other day of the week. And sometimes I'm fearful that we think that we can fool God. We can fool others, my friend, but we can't fool God. God knows the heart. And we need to remember we're redeemed, we're called out, we're set apart. We are to be glorifying God. And the habit of sin needs to be broken. Some habits are harder to break, and sometimes we'll fall back and we need to repent and go back and get back up and continue to try to do what's right. But sometimes what happens is we willfully don't try to do better. We just dig the hole deeper. True repentance, godly repentance, godly sorrow will lead to true repentance when we'll get back up and say, Lord, help me do better. But then I want you to think of one more mountain. We looked at the mountain of hearing but not doing. We looked at the mountain of ritualism or routinism. We looked at the mountain of worldliness. And let's look at a fourth mountain. The mountain of disobedience. How many people skirt around that mountain? How many people have just walked in circles around that mountain, and God is telling you, you've been at that mountain long enough. Just like you've been at the mountain of hearing and not doing long enough, and the mountain of ritualism and routinism long enough, and the mountain of worldliness long enough, I'll tell you there have been people who've been at the mountain of disobedience way too long. Many have heard the truth, they know the truth, but they refuse to obey the truth. And my friend, they're out of Christ and they're digging themselves into a deeper rut and they're going further away from Him. You're either in Christ or you're against Christ. And you must choose, just as they did in Joshua's days, in Joshua 24:15, how many people have in their house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's our choice. Today you must choose. Will you continue around the mountain of disobedience? God says, you've been there long enough. It's 2021. It's time for you to start doing what you need to do. Obey God's word. And if you've been baptized as Christians, you obey the word too. You remember that you are to walk in light. You're to hear God's word. Take your Bible and turn to the Hebrew letter in the 5th chapter. And I'll tell you something, when you read Hebrews 5, it'll really open your eyes to some things. Look, if you will, at verse 8 of Hebrews 5. Though he was a son, that's talking about Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Two things. In verse 8, notice Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. We live in a day and time that we're in a lap of luxury and a lap of ease, and the last thing we want to do is suffer. And yet, my friend, through our suffering, we can grow closer to God and learn obedience. Paul said, I want to know him and have fellowship with his sufferings, to know what he went through. Paul said, if it draws me closer to him, But we are in a world where suffering is avoided at all costs. We don't even like to wait in line at Chick-fil-A. But I'll tell you something, my friend. That's not suffering. We just don't like anything that's uncomfortable. But this world is going to be uncomfortable because we aren't home yet. As I said this morning, we're strangers and pilgrims in a far land. And if we're comfortable here, that's not a good sign, because birds of a feather flock together and we are where we don't belong. This world is not our home. And we need to remember the second part, where he says in verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation to what? All who obey him. Have you obeyed him? Have you put into practice what you've heard about the Word of God? Have you obeyed the commands of Jesus Christ? Are you his disciple? The Lord commands us to go forward. You know what the rebuke might be for some of us? You've been where you are long enough. It's time to grow. I don't care if you're 20 or 90, you can grow. I don't care if they're just little children or if you've been a Christian for years and years, you can grow. But sometimes we have to challenge ourselves to get out of that which is comfortable so that we can grow and be more like Jesus. We've been called to move on to higher ground. Question, O'Neill. In 2021, will we grow closer to Jesus? I want to thank you for studying with me this evening.